Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
This episode of Living Free is one that we first aired on December 2022, and it's from Carmen, a member of Overeaters Anonymous, who talks about her compulsion to control her eating that she sort of fell into in her adult life, and how she would restrict her food and then binge and became very preoccupied with food. And then she talks about her recovery from that through Overeaters Anonymous. Hope you enjoy the episode, and details about how to contact Overeaters Anonymous are given at the end of the show. Welcome to the Living Free Show on 3CR Community Radio, 855 kilohertz on your AM dial. I'm Anne, and with co-host Bill, I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which 3CR transmits people-powered radio. We'd like to pay our respects to elders past and present, and to acknowledge that this land was never ceded. Each week on the Living Free Show, we showcase one of the many programs that assist in recovery from drug, alcohol, gambling, and food addictions. Our guests share their recovery stories and highlight that shared experience saves lives. This week, I'm joined in this studio by Carmen, a member of Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome, Carmen.
Hi, Anne. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating.
Yes, that's right.
So, Carmen, can you tell us where your story started? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Germany, and I am a child of... So we have, I have two siblings, and so my early childhood memories, a lot of them are probably not as fond as they should be. And I grew up in quite a violent household. My father is an alcoholic, although he probably would disagree with that statement. But at the time he was barely home, and he escaped a really bad and unhappy marriage. And when he was home, we had to function. And I couldn't say anything. We were not allowed to be loud, and we certainly were not allowed to misbehave or question him at all. His word was the one from God, and we just had to function. So, and the childhood memories I have as well, especially the ones which are not so nice, is my father escaping from his bad marriage with alcohol. He numbed his own feelings. And he, at the time, he was playing soccer, and he spent a huge amount of hours over there drinking with his friends. And when he came home, this is when the abuse actually started. And it was directed towards my mother, especially towards my mother. I'm very, very lucky that he never really touched us. But I will never ever forget the screams in the background. And when you wake up as a child, and I remember those times when I was lying in my bed and I just felt helpless, completely helpless. And I didn't know what to do. And I was lying in my bed and just afraid and anxious. And my sister at the time, we were just the two of us, and my sister, we had bunk beds. And I never came down to her to protect her. And funny enough, I still feel guilty about that, although I was just a child and tried to cope and to survive with the situation. So she had to deal with her own trauma all by herself, and she probably lied there as well in her bed and heard the screams, and we couldn't do anything. And I remember one night as well where I actually came out. I came out to look if my mother is all right, and I got sent back. Mm. And they literally stopped the abuse mm-hmm. for a minute mm-hmm. to send me back, mm-hmm. and then it started again. The yelling and the screaming started yeah. again, and the hitting started again. And at one time, it was that bad that my mother was in hospital, and I remember as well that I saw her breasts squished. They were blue, and it was really not nice to look at. Mm. But yeah, my upbringing. Other than this, when my father wasn't home, it was quite nice.
what about socially and at school? How was that?
Yeah, that is probably the biggest issue. For me now, one of the biggest issues. You learn to cover up. You learn to hide your feelings. You learn to hide your feelings at home, completely hiding it. And then you learn to cover up at school, because I didn't want anyone to find out what was going on in my home. And although I, as a child, you don't know what's normal, not normal. Probably you just know that this is not normal. And so when I went to school, I never told anyone. And now, what is quite astonishing for me now when I look back as well, I started quite early onwards doing a journal. And I vowed to myself at the time that in that journal, my parents don't deserve a place. So you will not find a single word, neither about my dad nor about my mother. And the bad thing is as well for me now that I blamed my mother for what happened and not my dad, which is absolutely terrible. I had a very a distant relationship to my mother from the very beginning onwards. And I was a child. I didn't need many cuddles. And she misunderstood not many to nothing. And when my sister came along, my sister's 2 years younger, she was a very demanding child, according to my mother. And she got all the attention from my mom, everything. And I can't remember cuddles. I can't remember strokes. I can't remember. It wasn't there. And for my father, not anyway. And so I had a very, very difficult relationship with my mother from the very beginning onwards. And then I just saw that she got beaten up when she triggered him. And in my head, and I remember the thoughts as well, don't trigger him. Don't say that. Just don't. Just shut up. Just be quiet. And he won't hit you. And she didn't shut up. And so in my head, in my little head, it was her fault. And I carried so much anger and resentment towards that woman. And, oh, God, it's terrible. But this is how I coped with the situation, how I made sense of the situation. It was all her fault. So growing up, we had this weird, it was really weird. I always just felt alone, because what she told me as well, that because I pushed my emotions down, she told me I'm cold-hearted, and she told me as well, I'm like my father. And so my father didn't want me and pushed me away. My mother didn't want me and told me I'm like my dad. I tried to please him all the time, which didn't work either, because no matter what I did, it wasn't right. Then I came home with really good grades. I was always either the best at school or second best. Was always at that top level. And I come home at the time with you would say it's an A minus. And I come home with the A minus, and he looks at me and says, extremely unimpressed, why is it not an A plus? And you think, why? You know, I was proud, and it wasn't. It wasn't enough. And I carry this now to the day where I think I'm not good enough mm-hmm. no matter what I do. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how hard I try. I'm not good enough. And now, since I'm in OA, I observe my thoughts, because I realize this is first thing, not healthy, but as well as learned behavior. And I'm realizing that those thoughts are creeping into my head all the time and telling me those really, just not really wrong stories about myself.
Yeah.
And it's now in my marriage now that when I do things wrong, then it's immediate. Of course, it's not right again. Of course, no matter what I do, it's just not good enough. Mm. And I'm telling myself the story over and over again, but now I have the tools to realize, oops, stop, hold on. That's just a story. These are just words. They're not right. It's your, I call it my ego. My ego has formed throughout the years, and it's just learned behavior, and it's not right, and you don't have to listen to that voice. Mm. That voice has it's valid because I formed it as a child, and as well I formed it as a protection. Yep. So I don't see it as a bad thing. It is there to protect me and to keep me safe, and it does it sometimes quite loud and mean. It can get nasty. But it always just does it to protect me. Mm. And realizing that as well helped me not being nasty as well to my ego. Mm-hmm. Because it's there to be safe, to keep me safe in this human world and from doing stupid things. Yeah.
And Carmen, you've told some of your coping mechanisms. Where does overeating come in? Does it come in your childhood, early adolescence, or later?
So overeating comes in a little bit later. But I never had a really good relationship to food. And I connected food, which is quite interesting, to love. Because my grandmother was a third figure in my childhood, and she took care of me quite frequently. Unfortunately, she didn't take care of my sister, which added as well to a very bad dynamic in our family, but she took care of me, and very, very much so. And I remember those moments when I went to her, she always fed me. And it was always sweet stuff. I was very fussy as a child, and I struggled as well, unfortunately, with lots of, I was always constipated and things, no wonder when I think about what I ate. But so she fed me. And when I went there, I came home from school, and her house was on the way. So I passed her flat and knocked on the door, and I got fed bread rolls with either Nutella or some other sweet things, and always there was always sweet stuff at her house, and she always gave me sweet stuff.
Was there cuddles there too?
They were cuddles. Mm-hmm. She was a loving, caring figure in my upbringing. She took care of me. Everything I knew, I learned from her. She was a beautiful human being, and so I connected very early onwards food with love. And when I was 15, I started smoking heavily, quite quickly, quite heavily. And I ended up smoking 30 cigarettes a day. So that was my drug of choice. And I'm really, really glad I never took anything else. I was really scared about drugs and alcohol, because I could see with my father what happens to you when you lose control. And I was so afraid of losing control and maybe as well spilling my secrets. And I had a lot of secrets. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of spilling my secrets. I had to keep those secrets at all costs. So that kept me, that fear kept me from touching alcohol. And I am convinced with my behavior and my addictive nature that I would have ended up as a severe alcoholic. But I didn't, because of that. And so first thing, I smoked. And then when I gave that up, I drank a huge amount of coffee. And obviously legal drugs, but still coping mechanisms. And then food became more important when I gave up smoking. Became slowly but steadily more important. And I remember as well a weekend away with my girlfriend. And after that weekend, she was finished. She said to me, "Carmen, I love that I can overeat with you without feeling guilty." And I think, what? what? But it didn't dawn on me that it's unhealthy behavior to be really rigid from Monday to Friday. Really rigid. Oh, gosh, was I rigid. And then to eat like there is no tomorrow from Saturday and Sunday onwards. I stuffed my face full with an amount of calories. If you would count it, we probably would talk about 5,000 calories in one day. A huge amount of calories. And I felt so uncomfortable, full, just stuffed myself and my feelings. Mm. And now I realize that I literally just, I try to numb myself down. And first in my early childhood, teenage years with cigarettes and smoking like a chimney helped to not feel myself. Mm-hmm. And then food became more and more and more important to actually have this numbing feeling. And then I got pregnant and I gained a tremendous amount of weight. For the very first time, I was always, I was never overweight in a, I had always sort of a healthy weight, but it was based on extreme restriction and then binging mm-hmm. on the weekend. And so when I got pregnant and I gained 25 kilos with my first child, and I had to lose it obviously afterwards because in my head, and that's another such a bad thing, I had such an urge to stay slim because my mother talked down on overweight people in a really, really bad way. And she told me as well, there was a story that my auntie was always quite overweight, and she told me that her husband most likely will cheat on her because who wants such an overweight person? And that story, I got that told quite frequently. So that stuck with me. And she looked down on to overweight people. And she always was on some sort of diet. So I saw that relationship to food and just took it on me. And so when I got pregnant and that tremendous amount of weight, it didn't fall off me. Yeah, I delivered that child and 3.5 kilos, that was my child. And this is how much I lost. And I thought, really? Now I have to get myself onto the diet. And this is what I did quite quickly afterwards because I was obsessed with my weight. And then my journey with food really started. And then the obsession took over.
I will leave that right there. That's a perfect place to end that chapter.
If you or someone you care for is struggling with a mental illness or other disability and you need someone to talk to, you can call the Wellways Helpline. Wellways Helpline is a volunteer support and referral service that provides information to people experiencing mental health issues or other disabilities, as well as their family, friends and carers. We're here to talk if you are feeling socially isolated, seeking information about mental health or mental health services, or just need someone to talk to. As a peer-based service, everyone working at Wellways Helpline has a lived experience of mental health issues or disability. Wellways Helpline is a national service and operates Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m, excluding public holidays. So if you're struggling yourself or are struggling to help someone else, please call Wellways Helpline on 1300 111 500. That's 1300 111 500. Wellways supports 3CR.
Push on a pedal, get your heart started. Push on a pedal, push it down and up again. Push on a pedal.
You have to try very hard not to have fun on a push bike. Yarrabug, a show of bad bikes.
Get on your bike.
Riding them.
Sit on the seat.
Fixing them.
Push your feet on the pedal.
Loving them.
And ride it all around.
Mondays, 10 a.m. to 10:30 here on 3CR.
Push your feet on the pedals. And ride it all around, ride it all around.
This is The Living Free Show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. If you would like to listen to one of our many podcasts, then you can find us on your preferred podcast platform or just Google 3CR Living Free and check out our website. You can also contact us via phone, email or Twitter. I'm talking today with Carmen, a member of Overeaters Anonymous. Carmen, when did you first realise that you needed to get help for your compulsions around food?
That's probably around 4 years ago, I guess, when I actually threw up the very first time. And I did this, thank goodness, I think three times, when I stuffed myself full with so much food and that I thought I was so uncomfortable. I was literally sick, and I felt like vomiting. And I thought, look, you feel like it. And if you get rid of all the amount of food now, then the calories getting out as well. so I did it. But afterwards, I brushed off that this is not normal feeling, because I thought, yeah, well, I mean, you ate a lot. So, and now it came out, it's fine. You felt sick. It just helped you. So I convinced myself the first time that this is not a big issue, and I kept it to myself. And then second time around, I did it three times. Second time around, I thought, I'm not so sure if that is really normal. And yeah, there was one more time when I did it, and it was over a longer period of time. And at some point, I just realized I had an absolute obsession with food. I was preoccupied from the morning to the evening. So I ate before I ate even breakfast. So I got up in the morning, and then I thought, what do I have for breakfast? Then I checked as well the clock. Should I already eat breakfast? Should I not eat breakfast? Then I ate breakfast, and then I thought about snack. Snack was at 10 o'clock-ish. And when I had my snack, 12 o'clock, very soon lunch. And then lunch came. So I constantly, from the morning to the evening, I thought about food. And it either was planned that I counted my calories, or I starved myself, and I figured out fasting. Oh, what a great tool. We are fast. And then afterwards, we can binge again. Not that I wanted to binge, but I relied solely on my willpower. So I fasted, and I was master at fasting. And then when the willpower, I mean, I always say you have a bucket of willpower. And at some point, that bucket is absolutely empty. And when it was empty, I started binging again. I could gain 5 kilos in 5 days. And just to put it into perspective, I am 163 centimeters tall. And my weight always fluctuated between 53 and 59 kilos, roundabout. And I put that weight on in 5 days because I ate like I'm nuts. And I read a book, and that book was talking about, that book was written by an author called Alan Carr. He wrote a book about, smoking, great book. So he teaches people how to stop smoking. And he also had a book about overeating. And it was talking about that it's an addiction, and about sugar is a problem. And so then I created that awareness that might be me. And then I did something I probably shouldn't have done. I went to therapy. Lovely therapist.
Why should you not have done that?
Because she told me that I just need to eat in moderation.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And that I need to learn to accept my body as it is. That my body is beautiful as it is. She's absolutely right. It is. And that my obsession with my body and being really, really slim is obviously an obsession, and I just have to learn to accept myself like I am and just eat in moderation. And now here comes my people pleasing into place. After a few sessions, I figured out, well, she doesn't understand that I can't eat in moderation, but I want to be a model student. Like, I always wanted to be a model student for my dad. I always wanted to actually fit his narrative and his way of thinking about me. So, and I'm an amazing actor. I think I know what you want from me. So I think I'm a good mind reader. I'm not. I figured that one out in program. But so I'm trying to read your mind, how I should be, and then I try to fit that narrative. So I am figuring out how my therapist thinks I should be, and then I did fit that narrative. And at some point, I literally lied to her. So I've got it now. I've got it. Yeah, she's absolutely right. I've got it. Yeah, you're right. And therapy obviously didn't work because I didn't get it. I wasn't a model student. I was still binging.
Yeah,
maybe a bit less in between, but it didn't fix my problem. And then I stopped therapy, and then I thought, okay, we quit sugar. Let's just quit sugar. That's going to fix the issue. Let's quit the sugar. But I didn't, because I can overeat on broccoli. And on steak, because it's compulsive food behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, for me, it's not just sugar, but it's a compulsion behind the behavior. I just try to feel full. I try to feel not empty. And I felt so empty. My whole life, I felt empty and alone. And I wanted to fill that. And I filled it with food. Literally physically filling me up. So I didn't feel empty anymore. And when I quit then sugar, and it still wasn't right. And I remember the day where I made myself keto muffins. Almond meal, and I sweetened it with stevia or something like it. And I ate 5 in a row. Literally within, I can't remember, I was that quick. I ate them. I just ate them like there was no tomorrow. And then I sat down and I cried because I realized, for heaven's sake, it's not just sugar. It's a sugar replacer as well. Whatever else it is, I couldn't completely figure it out, but I knew I've got a real problem. And I fully and completely broke down. And I thought, I just need help. I just need help. I can't do it on my own. I literally can't. And this is when someone really close to me suggested to go to OA. He is in another fellowship, and he suggested there is something as well for overeaters. Go there. Just go there. And I had nowhere else to go because I tried it all. I starved myself. I fasted. I literally therapy. And I did calorie counting. I tried this moderation thing. You have no idea. Often I tried the moderation thing to eat. I tried intuitive eating, where you allow yourself to eat whatever you want. That absolutely didn't work because I ate whatever I want and I didn't stop eating, and I gained that much weight and that much in that quickly of a period of time. And I thought, Nutella every single day, yippee-i-hey. So I ate like there's no tomorrow. So I figured out quickly that this doesn't work, not at that stage at least. So I tried that many things. And so then I thought, I have nowhere to go. And I went to an OA meeting.
Where was that?
And that was actually on Zoom. It was a Zoom OA meeting because at the time we were already within the pandemic and there were unfortunately no face-to-face meetings anymore. But it probably suited me at the time because it took away the intimidating part. And as well, I felt... In the beginning, I'm not sure if I'm right here because I was never really overweight. And that's another thing I struggle with. I always feel judged. I think people judge me and then they might think I don't belong here. What does she want here? Why would she be here? And thank goodness, in my first meeting, there were a couple of other slim people there and shared their story. I almost cry now because it was such a beautiful moment and they shared their story and I could identify.
Sounds like a relief.
It was such a relief, and it felt immediately like I'm home. I'm home here. There are people who are, and I mean it in the most wonderful way what I'm saying now, who are as nuts as me. Who think like me. I always thought I'm alone. I still have to the day very often the feeling that I'm all alone in the world. Because in my childhood, I was alone. I always was alone. And now I'm special. I'm thinking I'm special. I'm different. You always have this different feeling. You don't belong there. You think the world doesn't understand you, and they wouldn't understand you even if they would try. And I'm sitting in that meeting and I think, oh, you're not special. Oh, there are other people like you and other people who do exactly the same things. I mean, when I think about it, I struggle to admit that, but I took something out of my bin once. I chucked it out so I don't eat it anymore. And I took it out of the bin to eat it again. I mean, it was still wrapped, but who does that? Yeah, I did. And apparently, I'm not alone with my weird thinking, with my weird behavior. There are others out there who struggle the same. And that was such a relief to know I am not alone.
And perhaps it's not so weird. Perhaps it's a very common way for many human beings to behave.
Yes.
We're all prone to some compulsion or another.
Yes. And to understand as well at some point that it is compulsive behavior and we're just trying to cope. Mm-hmm. We're trying to cope with life. And as well to understand, which was beautiful, to understand that compulsive food behavior, compulsive eating was a very valid way and safe way to cope. It's a beautiful coping mechanism. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You actually helped yourself to survive mm-hmm. with that. It's a coping strategy. Mm-hmm. And to come then to a place when you say, okay, now maybe I find another coping mm-hmm. strategy, another way of coping with my life. Mm-hmm. And it's the most beautiful experience. And I am so grateful. I found that fellowship with so many beautiful people in there, mm-hmm. with so many beautiful members. And that first meeting was amazing. And then they said to me, you have to come back. You have to at least do 6 different meetings. And they're right, because if at this, my first meeting, may have not been those people in there who I could have identified with.
Yes.
But they might have said in the other meeting. Yep. And we have meetings. There are members between, doesn't happen often, but maybe just 3. Doesn't happen often, but usually they're more. On average, probably 10-ish. But you have meetings with 3 people, and sometimes I've been to meetings where you have 30 people yes. sitting there. And they're overseas meeting. They're sometimes even bigger. So, and it's really important. You go to different meetings and just sit in there. You don't have to share. Nobody's forcing you to share. You can just listen. It's, your anonymity is extremely valued. If you don't want to give your name, don't give your name. It doesn't really matter. You don't even have to show your face if you're not comfortable with that. Yeah. But sit in there and listen to the people. Listen. And there will be at least one person mm-hmm. who has very, very similar stories. And I find myself so often in all sorts of different people, all sorts of different stories. And sometimes you find people who pretty much feel like you're, like it's a sister or a brother. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like it's you share so similar. You share similar values. You share similar stories, similar upbringing, similar. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And this feeling of belonging, what I never had in my whole life, I've got that now.
So it would seem that feeling of belonging is going to be going a fair way to filling the void.
Yes.
Not all the way.
Yes.
But
not
a fair
all the
way.
A fair way. Mm-hmm. A fair way. And it's another, it's one of the tools we're using. And especially in the beginning, it's a beautiful tool that when you have a compulsion and you have that tool to ring a member.
Yep.
And no matter where they are, one of the members will pick up. You can ring 10 or 20. One of them will pick up.
Yep.
And you don't have to feel bad about it. Don't think about if you would disturb them. One member will pick up. And sometimes it's just the act of calling someone.
Yep.
Even if they don't pick up. But you actually broke the cycle. You didn't compulsively overeat. You rang a member. And the compulsion is gone. Uh-huh. It's a miracle. Uh-huh. And for me, the most important tool, I don't want to even call it tool because it is not a tool. What was a missing link for me, because when I entered OA, I knew that certain foods trigger me. I may had to figure out all of them, but I knew that the trigger foods are there. Mm. And I knew as well that I emotionally eat. They hadn't figured out completely which emotions, but I knew that too. Mm. But what I didn't know is the missing link was the spirituality. Ah. That was the missing link. The reliance on a higher power, a power greater than myself. And I call it God. Some people call it just higher power, universe, supercomputer. Whatever you may believe, it is just that you can rely on something greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Because yourself wasn't good enough to beat the problem.
I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't. And funny enough, that was a first concept as well, which I struggled with when I first read about it. Yeah. The first step is the admitting that you're powerless and giving it to a higher power, to a power greater. And I think, how does this now work? How can I give away my control?
Yeah.
And something imaginary.
It's true.
is taking over, and I mean, like a miracle, I'm abstinent. I mean, how's that going to work? But I don't know how it works, but this is the only thing that worked. Yeah. It is amazing. This is the only thing that actually works. Admitting I don't have willpower. That willpower doesn't get me anywhere, because it didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did have willpower, but the willpower doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's the bucket. You have a willpower bucket. It's just at some point it's empty. Yeah. And then you are there with your human nature left over. And I 08 taught me I can't rely on my willpower. I have to rely on God.
And other people.
And other people.
Okay, that's a good place to stop. So we'll take another break.
And on 3CR 855, get your slice of local film action every Thursday at 11 a.m. For half an hour, get a dose of what's new.
And who's who in the art of film. Join Annie.
And Muhammad.
For Showreel on Thursday, 11 a.m, 3CR, 855 on your AM dial.
See you then.
That 3CR is one of a kind. We have 400 volunteers and cover an incredible array of programming content.
From special broadcast events on Invasion Day or Trans Day of Visibility to any of our 120 weekly shows, 3CR has got your radical radio listening covered.
Subscribe to 3CR at 3cr.org.au and support independent, community-owned media, free of commercial influence and government bias.
Help to keep 3CR unique by becoming a subscriber today.
This is a Living Free Show on 3CR Digital Radio and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. And we're talking with Carmen about the problem of compulsive overeating and how the Overeaters Anonymous program helped her with recovery from this. So, Carmen, how do you apply the OA program in your daily life these days?
Yeah, so for me it begins in the morning. When I, after I wake up, the first thing what I actually do is I write a letter to God. It's might sound funny, but I write down how I actually want to be that day. I'm asking as well to free me from any compulsive behavior, obsessions, whatever may be there. Control is a big issue for me. I'm not as judgmental anymore. That's really nice. So I don't have to include that as much anymore. Control is a big issue that I include. But I also write down how I want to be. That's very important. And that I want to be a patient mother and all sorts of things. And I think about my day ahead and write down how I want to be. And then when I've done that, I go ahead with my day. And after my breakfast, I ring my sponsor.
Every day?
I ring her every single day. Very important to me, because the reason for that is I don't want to have to think about that I have to feel guilty that I haven't rang her in a week. I don't want that guilt. So I ring her every single day. And sometimes we talk for a minute, literally just a minute, for whatever reason. Sometimes we talk for 15 minutes. I mean, it's in the morning. We're all busy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for half an hour. That doesn't happen too often, but that happens too. And depending on what is. And I talk to her about what happened yesterday. And I get better identifying these days the issues I have. In the beginning, she identified them for me. So I do this every single day. And then I go ahead with my day. And in the either afternoon or evening, I do meditate every single day in minimum 15 minutes. Meditation is extremely important. It's not prayer. It's meditation. It's my connection to my higher power, the connection to God I need. And sometimes it's a guided meditation. Most likely it's literally I sit there and surrender and connect. And in the evening, I before I go to bed, it's a 5 minute thing. I think about my day, how that unfolded, and what I could have done better. Not what anybody else could have done better. What I could have done better. OA taught me that this is the most important part to life, to understand your responsibility and to be a better person, how you can serve the world, help other people. And that takes away as well your preoccupation with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This mm-hmm. constantly being in your head. Mm. And especially me, I'm a big people pleaser. And I try, as I mentioned beforehand, I try to fit the narrative of other people. What happens but then is because I try to figure out how to look good in front of you, I don't listen to you because I'm thinking about my own words. And it's not a conscious thing. It's a subconscious thing. And then I'm going ahead and spinning around in my head and then I've missed half your conversation and forgot. Or literally, I didn't listen to what you were saying. And I figured out that throughout program now, my conversations are so much better because I actually concentrate. I concentrate on the other person in front of me because I can listen. Because it doesn't matter anymore what I say because I'm all right as I am. I'm good as I am. And the other person either love me with maybe sometimes as well the stupid things that come out of my mouth or they don't. And it is okay. And I've mentioned it earlier that in the beginning of the program, I could see that my relationships, my friendships will change. And I was afraid of that. And now it's a beautiful thing. I'm not afraid of that anymore, that some friendships have changed. They're not as much in my life present anymore. But not allowing people who shouldn't be there in your life in the first place. And you kept them in there because you fit the narrative and they think they like you, but they actually don't. And you might not like them either that much. And that's okay as well. We can't please everybody. Now make space for actual people who belong into your life, for the people who really love you like you are, who see you like you are and say, wow, she's great. Mm. She's amazing. Yeah, maybe a bit nuts, but that's okay. I am too. And you make space for people who actually value you in the right way. And I got, I didn't kick the people out, but they just slowly but steadily are not as important anymore. People who gossip a lot, I don't have in my life anymore as much because I don't gossip as much anymore. And that was one beautiful compliment a friend made me the other day. She said, Carmen, you don't gossip anymore. And I took a moment and said, thank you so much for saying this. That means a lot because when I entered the program, I didn't realize that gossiping for me was a way to connect to other people.
Yes, yes.
And I talked so much shit about other people. It's terrible. I hate admitting that. But I dragged other people down just for me so I can connect to another person. And as well to another person who I shouldn't connect in the first place with. Yeah. And I don't do that anymore. I really don't because as less judgmental I get with myself, as less judgmental I get with other people. This is an amazing gift. I'm so much more forgiving and loving and I look at somebody with love and not so much with judgment anymore because I just like myself much better and accept myself much, much more. And obviously, I have good days and as well bad days, but now I have the tools when I have a bad day to observe my thinking, understanding that it's my thinking and probably my childhood thinking that is doing that to me. And now I can meditate. I can ring other members who remind me of the tools of the program, of God, of whatever it is to get me out of my self-pity.
And what about compulsions? Are you still sometimes subject to compulsions? And how is that for you?
Those things every now and then still creep in. But I'll give you a nice example. I was invited to a wedding just recently. And I rang another member. And we were talking about the food because they served finger food. And I'm not good with finger food. Because now I have a food plan, and I eat 3 times a day. I might eat 4 times a day, but this is literally, and that's now a female thing. It depends, really, really depends where my hormones are. But I'm sticking to that food plan, and it's very hard to stick to a food plan when you have finger foods. It's easy to overeat with finger foods for me, very easy. So I'm ringing her, and then we came up with a plan together, and we came up with a plan that I grab a plate, mm-hmm. and I put the food on there so I can physically see it. I'm not touching that food before it's all on there. So I have my food on there, and then I eat that, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing. And it worked beautifully. But another thing, what she said to me, and that was such a great advice, she said, Carmen, send God before you. Oh, that gave me so much peace. Yes, of course, I send God before me, and then he will take care of the rest. I don't have to take care of anything because I can't anyway. Yeah, that's my human ego can't take care of anything. So I send God before me, and he will take care that everything will be fine, that everything that I can, that there is things I can eat, that there are things, because that was another issue. Are there things I can eat? Is it all there? And it was.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was not an issue at all. And I had my plate. I ate that. And then I was full. And I was happy.
Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. It's an example of having your plan, and that's something you can control.
Yes.
And then leaving everything else to the higher power that you can't control.
Exactly. You have your food plan, and you have a certain amount of control, and maybe, you never know, maybe 20, 30 years I can completely rely on God. Maybe tomorrow I can, never know. Maybe my human ego could let it all go. For today, I have tools. OA gives you tools for the times your ego is creeping back in.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, which it always will.
It will. It always will.
Are there other situations that it's good for you to avoid? Other triggers?
I really gotta say, quite good by now. I don't. The other day, my husband was asking me if it disturbs me that he eats chocolate in front of me. Mm-hmm. He said, "No, actually, don't care anymore." That's in the beginning. I did. I felt a tremendous amount of self pity.
Uh-huh.
The self pity. Poor me. But that left me. That left me. It doesn't happen anymore that I look at a food and I think, oh, I wish I... It's... In the beginning, I got to be honest, in the beginning, I was entered OA not to not eat sugar anymore. I wanted to end my suffering. I really wanted to end my suffering. And I probably silently I was hoping they show me a way how I can eat sugar. I honestly don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. I'm so the feeling free.
Yes.
Just free is so much more worth than any cheesecake mm-hmm. in the whole wide mm-hmm. world. It can't replace that feeling. Mm. And when I think back as well, that feeling of satisfaction when you eat. That lasts a few seconds, and then you actually want more and more and more. It never really lasts long. It really lasts if you're lucky for a few minutes, and then it's gone.
Mm.
The feeling of being free,
mm-hmm.
of just feeling balanced and happy, joyous, and free.
Well, we're going to end that there because this is the Living Free Show.
Here we go.
We've got 30 seconds to go. So you have nailed it. You've just ended on the right note there. So thank you very much for coming in and sharing your experience with us. It was wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
If you are having difficulty with compulsive overeating, you might like to try Overeaters Anonymous. You can find them at oa.org.au. All meetings welcome newcomers, and the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. And that's the end of the show for today. Oh, yeah. Also, the meetings of OA are listed on their website at oa.org.au/meetings. And these can be face-to-face, online, or hybrid, or both. Coming up next, we have Balanwa, the Spirit of Wa, hosted by Uncle Taljum Choco Edwards. Join Uncle Choco on a journey of belonging and movement through sing-alongs and yarns. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned now for more Radical Radio on 3CR. If you're struggling with drugs, alcohol, gambling or food, or concerned about somebody who is, tune in to the Living Free Show on 3CR at 1 p.m. every Thursday.
I don't know how I got there, but I couldn't stop it.
I had stopped expecting that anybody cared.
Never enough. I'm never enough. It's never enough. He's never enough.
That was the confusion.
Tune in to Living Free, stories of recovery from addictive behaviour, Thursdays at 1 p.m. on 3CR. Or listen at 3CR on digital radio or podcasts and live streaming on 3cr.org.au.
Being able to centre myself and be okay in myself and turn my world around.
Living free.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.